Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, as always available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Pandora, or head on over to the website AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the countless articles and hours of podcast content that will be sure to keep you busy for hours. Please share those articles and podcasts on social media because we are independent media and that helps a great deal. You know, the big story outside of politics in the last week seems to be all about this Alec Baldwin shooting. Of course, it brings back memories of Brandon Lee and the tragedy that happened on the Crow set a couple decades ago. But now you have reporters trying to pretend Republicans' reactions towards Baldwin are over the top. It's almost like they have forgotten the response when Herman Cain died of COVID-19 or whenever a Republican gets sick, the over-the-top and spiteful comments that we see from leftists. Personally, I feel very bad for the victims of this shooting and their families. However, as far as Alec Baldwin goes, I have very little sympathy for this guy, and it's going to be interesting to see what the blowback is from this entire situation in the long term. How are you doing tonight, Rob?
I'm doing good. I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in tonight. I agree with everything that you said, Andrew, about Alec Baldwin. He's bombastic. He's a loudmouth. And when I heard the story, I thought, wow, how unbelievable that this could happen. And I think they were showing pictures of the guy crying on the phone saying, like, you know, I guess I can't believe I did this, yada, yada, yada. But it's really strange. Because like you said, it happened to Brandon Lee. It happened to another actor, John Eric Hexum, I think. And for the left to be saying, why is the right talking about this? Well, I mean, why wouldn't we talk about it? I mean, come on. It's look at Dick Cheney. When Dick Cheney shot his best buddy, that's all the left could do is talk about, oh, he shot his friend, and why did he shoot his friend, and did he do it on purpose, and there's some secrecy that's there, and it went for like 5 hours before they reported it, and he's the vice president, and why didn't we know more about it? The conspiracy theories ran amok when that happened, but on their side, let's shut it down. And he's not even anyone of importance. He's not the vice president. He's not an elected official. He's just Alec Baldwin, the guy who's constantly getting in trouble. Alec Baldwin, the hothead. Alec Baldwin, who called his daughter a pig. Alec Baldwin, whose wife claimed that she was from Spain and couldn't pronounce cucumber. She said, it's cucumber, Hilaria. And it's actually Hillary and not Hilaria. it's crazy. It's funny. I saw him once in Manhattan in New York. I saw him on the streets, but I went to hear him speak a few years back. This is before Trump ran for president. And he was a really impressive guy. And at the time he said he was thinking about running for mayor of New York City. And I thought, wow, this guy is really, he's very personable, a great speaker, but there's a violent side of him, a volatile side of him. And I think his whole statue of being an actor has gone to his head. Now, he hasn't made any great movies that you would say you would remember and quote the lines and say, remember when he was in this movie? But he was in, what was the show on NBC that I had started watching? I almost named it. But it was pretty good. It was a comedy show. 30 Rock. He was on 30 Rock. And he was kind of eccentric. And it was a hilarious show. But as far as a movie that he's done that you could point back to, he did Beetlejuice, which was okay. But nothing really hard-hitting. He's never won an Oscar. So his claim to fame is just being a volatile person, person with a hot temper, mean temper. Other than that, he's just Alec Baldwin. So why wouldn't we talk about it? I'd rather talk about that than to talk about this Gabby Petito, who's missing. You know, Andrew, now, and I know a lot of our listeners probably won't agree with me, but there's part of me that really and truly feels bad for his family. I don't know what led to his demise. And I've tried to play it out in my head as if though I'm like a director or writing a movie script. And either he went to them and said, I loved her. Something happened. I killed her. What am I going to do? I can't go to jail. I'm going to kill myself. She was a love of my, she was a love of my life, but things just got out of control. And either they helped him go to wherever he went and dropped him off. They said their goodbyes and he took pills and he killed himself. But it's really sad. It's really sad when you think about it, because yeah. I think they know that they know what happened.
Absolutely. And you got to look at it from the parents' perspective. They didn't ask for any of this. They weren't responsible for their son killing Gabby Petito. And this is really a case of the media trying to make them a villain. And it was the same thing with this Brian Laundrie and this entire story. You can go back in the archives. And I said from the first time that we heard that Brian Laundrie was missing, I said that he was probably killed himself. It just seems like a typical murder suicide after a domestic dispute, which happens all the time, but it's not the big story that the media wanted. They wanted this guy to be on the run and some kind of big super villain. And I think a lot of people are disappointed he's dead because they wanted him to be caught, or they wanted to keep spreading rumors about what could possibly be. They tried to hype this kid up like he's some kind of big serial killer, mass murderer, whatever the case may be. But it was all just a lot of media hype and spin. And it just ended up being a situation that is not all that uncommon in today's society.
Not uncommon at all. And I feel for the parents because they had to endure all of this. Now, if they knew what happened and they were covering for him, absolutely, they should be held accountable. But for some reason, I think that he probably went to them and said, this is what happened. And they probably called an attorney and the attorney said, don't tell me what you did. I don't want to know about it. You don't have to talk. The only thing I can tell you is that you don't have to talk to anybody. They don't have a body. They can't connect you to it. So live your life. That's it. Because attorneys will say that. They'll say, I don't want to hear if you did it, if you didn't do it. Because if you tell me that you did it, then I've got to report that by law. I am bound by law, by my oath, to say this is what my client did. So a lot of people always wonder, well, how can you defend this person? Well, because they probably said, don't tell me. Now, I'm sure in some cases, when you're defending someone, you know, or they probably tell you, I did do it, but then you'll say, I don't want to know the details. Don't tell me anything else because I don't want them to put me under oath because I will have to tell the truth. Attorney-client privilege. But if it is a murder act and you know the person did it and you're trying to say they didn't do it, you'll say, don't tell me. So I'm sure that the attorney probably told the family, look, don't tell me what happened. He should keep quiet. Don't talk to anyone. That's all I can say. You know nothing about it. I know nothing about it. And they probably left it at that. But to sit there with him, knowing this is what happened, and knowing that he probably told them, I cannot go to jail. I will kill myself. So just imagine that mom. And we don't know anything about these people. We don't know their personalities. We don't know how they behave. But as a parent, if my child told me that, and me knowing the only way out is that my child is going to take his life, the pain, the agony that on this day, you knowing that your child killed himself or did something, you can't mourn your child. You got to keep up this public facade or this image that, okay, because if I don't, they're going to question me. And you think about it, they haven't given any interviews. Now, I thought it was rather weird and strange that they decided, okay, we're going to help you guys find the body. Find him. And the dad went out, went to the campsite or wherever he would go to the trail. And then one day they stumbled up on his writings or his belongings. And Andrew, they said that the body was like a skeleton. So I don't know if some wild animal got to it or just being out in the elements, because Florida is hot around this time, and then it just, you know, decayed or, you know, whatever. But I can't imagine.
Yeah, I'm not a parent, but I could imagine what that had to be like for his parents. I mean, all this to process in such a short amount of time. You found out that your son killed his girlfriend, which is just crazy to find out. And then within a couple of days later, you're hearing that your son is disappearing and might be suicidal himself. Just a very tough situation for the parents. And I really wish the media and the protesters would leave their house and just leave them alone. If you want to direct your anger towards anybody, it should be directed towards the FBI, who let Brian Laundrie escape underneath their nose after they had him in the house. They let him leave. They did not follow him. That is the reason we do not have answers to exactly what happened.
Once again, Christopher Wray's FBI going after everything else besides the things that they should be going after and looking at. Christopher Wray. This guy is so pathetic and incompetent. No wonder Joe Biden is allowing him to stay on, because he knew, hey, he's not going to shake any waves. He's not going to cause any waves. He's just going to do the status quo. He's going to sit there and do absolutely nothing. That is the reason why no one has gone after Hunter Biden. And if they do go after Hunter Biden, nothing will have it become of it, because they don't want anything to become of it. They want him just to sit there and get away scot-free with everything that he's doing. Now, imagine if you're a Hunter Biden and you've done all this stuff, all this dirt. You probably feel rather invincible. That no one's going to take me on. One one is going to call me out. I can do whatever the hell I want to do. And why shouldn't I? The FBI is not going to do anything, because it's working for my dad. Merrick Garland isn't going to do anything, as we said the other night, because he's totally compromised. And these are the people that are running our country. So, like you said, Andrew, if you want to be mad at someone, be mad at the FBI. But something that you said that I often wonder about is the people that are on the outside of the Laundrie family's house demanding that they come out, demanding that they talk to the FBI, demanding that they tell us what you know, and that no one loves your son and no one loves you. It's like, people, do you people have a life?
No.
Like, it's like they're like so committed. Like, tell us where she is. We want to know where she is. Did you even know her? And if she knew you, she would probably turn her nose up, and then you would probably hate her. But there are like vigils and late at night, we're watching you, and please tell us where she is. We want to know. Her family wants to know. I'm like, man, that must be nice, having people out front and center. Because I'm like, who did you say you were? You need to get off my property before I call the police. But, you know, it's the police. You know, what would the police do? Because they're busy trying to defund the police. So they probably just look the other way. So, which just brings to mind the situation that happened in Pennsylvania with the woman being raped on a train. And now they're saying that there weren't people that were taking pictures of it. You know, you can never get a straight story, because the media has a vested interest to spin these stories. And if some of you are wondering, what am I talking about? A couple of weeks ago, a woman was on a train in Pennsylvania. She got on a train. There was a guy who got on the train behind her who happened to be an illegal alien. He was a black illegal alien, had a rap sheet as long up to wazoo. He gets on this train, starts talking to her. She says, leave me alone. He starts trying to take her clothes off. Eventually, he took her clothes off, they say, and he raped her. Now, I don't know how this transpired. It seems kind of fishy to me. But my issue is that, just imagine had there been police officers there. They could have prevented this. They could have stopped it. But they weren't there. I read another story about a woman in D.C., who claims she checked into a hotel and there were men banging at her door while she was in the shower, and they actually broke in and tried to grab her. I don't know if she fought back or she managed to scream and someone came up and the men left. She was a black woman, and she's saying that they were trying to think it was human slavery or harvest her organs or something. So she's complaining about it. This is in D.C., where the mayor is Muriel Bowser. She's also black. And she's also into this whole thing with defund the police and Black Lives Matter and painting Black Lives Matter on public streets funded by taxpayer dollars. She started a Black Lives Matter Plaza, which before long will probably be riddled with gun violence, as is most plazas named after prominent blacks, which is really sad. But this is happening in America.
And it, correct me if I'm wrong, was this the same incident where this woman was being raped and now they are investigating if other passengers on the train, instead of doing anything about it, they were actually filming it with their cell phones?
Well, yeah, but there are two incidents here. One is a woman who was raped in Pennsylvania on the train, and they're claiming, when the story came out, they were saying that passengers were taping it to put it online. Now, I want to talk about online also, so remind me about that if I forget, YouTube. Now they're coming out and they're saying that there weren't passengers. So I don't know what to believe. So that's the first story. That, and the guy was an illegal alien, and he should not have been here. And apparently they had, on numerous occasions, said that they were going to deport him, but he was never deported. So when President Trump said the people that are coming here, they're not the finest, they're rapists, they're drug dealers, he was right. And for the left to immediately run to, that's a racist statement. It is not a racist statement. It is a truthful statement. How do you think we got MS-16 or whoever they call themselves here? These people came across the border. And it's happening right now. And had Republicans had the fortitude and the sense, they would have pushed back and said, no, we are not racist. This is the truth. And I think that what they should start using right now is the word bully for CRT. They should start saying, you are bullying us. CRT is a bully mechanism. Jump on it right now. I'm telling you, you better start using it. Because if you don't, the left will use it against the right. The left, they are bullying conservatives. They are bullying. And you know they love that word bully, because when you say bully, they will shut it down. So conservatives, please jump on it. Now going back to the story. So you have the first story of the woman who was raped on a train. The second story is a woman, black woman also, in DC, checked into a hotel, was in the shower, and she claims that some men were trying to break into her hotel room and put her into, what do they call it? Modern day slavery or something, and harvest her organs. So those are two incidents, but still, had we had police, perhaps this could have been stopped. But even if we had police, police are told to look the other way, not to do anything, to stand down. And this shouldn't be happening. And then you have people going up taunting the police in these liberal cities. And then you have police saying, I'm going to retire. Then in that same bucket, as we mentioned the other night, you have these governments that are saying, if you don't take the vaccine, we're going to fire you and no benefits. All of this has been happening within the past 8 months. And who's been in the White House? President Biden and his crazy policies, destroying America. Meanwhile, you have illegal aliens coming in, turning parts of the country into shitholes. And people are saying, well, they're coming here for the freedom. Yeah, they were. But someone else pointed out to me, they're also coming here because of free stuff. We're giving them free money. So why wouldn't they come? We're giving them money that we can't give our own citizens. If we say that there's poverty in the United States, Andrew, why can't we take some of the money that we're giving these illegal aliens and help uplift our people from poverty? Now, I'm not saying to give them the money, but you can create jobs. And speaking of jobs, when the heck are we going to bring our jobs home so we can stop depending on these foreign countries? That's one reason why we have the supply chain problem. Of course, Buttigieg knows nothing about it. But if we were to bring our manufacturing jobs home, bring them back to South Carolina, Alabama, Arkansas, all these states that need jobs, Mississippi, bring the jobs back home. Now that you've increased the wages, give these people something to work for. But you shouldn't think they should drive BMWs like the people on social media, because that's just not going to happen. You can't be 18 years old commanding a huge salary for a BMW or a Cadillac or a Lexus, and you're barely working. let's apply common sense. But we need to bring the jobs back home. We have people here who could work. And when I hear people say, well, they don't have the skill set. You look at Apple, not Apple, but Facebook. Facebook was deliberately going on the outside looking for workers in other countries because they claimed that the Americans didn't have the skill sets that they were looking for. Well, Andrew, how can we have the skill set when in our schools we're busy teaching CRT, critical race theory? We're busy teaching kids about there being 12 million genders when there are actually only two. Male, female, look at your chromosome. I would say pull down your pants, but some of you have probably done something down there that you shouldn't have done. But I mean, we're teaching our kids everything except the right thing. Look at our military. We're driving out our true soldiers and we're putting in this makeshift diversity program. Is this what we want? Meanwhile, China is gearing up to take over Taiwan. And no, we should not go to the Olympics, the Winter Olympics. We should not go. We should protest. Keep your butts home. The last time we did that, Russia took over Crimea. And Barack Obama, like the butt boy he is, just rolled right over and said, thank you, sir. Can I have another one? And then people look at him and say, he's the greatest president. Well, he's a novelty because he's the first Black president. But as far as his accomplishments, he did absolutely nothing but create more division between the races. His first term, maybe there was hope. Because people believed in him. But after that, he folded up. It became just another swamper, another lazy politician.
Yeah, we have a lot of those. It would be amazing what we could do for our seniors and veterans if we didn't have the burden of illegal immigrants in our country. The presidents of Mexico, Brazil, Argentina, and others have all said Biden is the reason for this border surge that we're seeing. You promised them free health care. You talk about expanding DACA and all these other programs, and the illegal immigrants, they listen and they come here for these promised freebies. Border crossings were down 80% under President Trump and his immigration policies. They were clearly working. The first thing Biden did was cancel just about all of them, stop building the wall. Now we have millions of dollars of wall just sitting in a field in Texas instead of going up and protecting our borders. It's been an absolute disaster.
It's not difficult to do. We know that it can be done because President Trump did it. And when you have all of these presidents, these other countries blaming Biden and saying that he's a complete disaster and that it's his fault, but the media won't point it out. And I've oftentimes said, even when it seems as if though they are attacking him and they're saying, oh my God, this is his fault, he's messed up, they will circle back and protect him to isolate him from criticisms. They can criticize him, but we can't. And if we try, we get shut down. I mean, the point that I was making a while ago about big tech, Facebook, hiring workers from overseas because our workers can't, because we're busy teaching our kids CRT. Then you have Facebook that are censoring conservatives as well as Google and Twitter. And this whole charade with these whistleblowers that are coming out saying, well, Google, they were looking at teenage girls, they were singling them out, they were trying to get them hooked, or they were trying to get them addicted, and Facebook was trying to get them addicted, and Facebook was doing this, and they're keeping these people off the platform, and they're doing this. All that's good and fine and dandy. It looks pretty. It looks as if though someone is telling the truth, but again, it's a whistleblower. Who is the whistleblower? No one but a paid informant of the Democrat Party, a paid informant of the liberal media, a paid informant of Facebook's competitor. And it's all designed to make you think that they're going to do something about it. But the only thing they want to do is to censor conservatives. Because remember, the first whistleblower of Facebook, she came out talking about, oh yeah, and that's how January 6th, that's how they were able to organize and get together. And they did it all on Facebook. Oh, really now? Well, what about the people that were protesting during the spring and summer of 2020? How do they organize? Facebook, Twitter. But they won't point that out. It's all about those who were organizing for Jan 6, which was not an insurrection. And I think someone even called out Merrick Garland on this. It was Jim Jordan and another senator. The guy's name was, I see him as Stubbe from Florida. He called out Merrick Garland. And he put up two pictures, one of January 6th, and then one of a more recent incident whereby these individuals stormed the Capitol, the Commerce Building, demanding that America give back land to the Indians. Now, you know my whole take on the Indians. We have given them something, go away, end it, cut it off. But anyway, back to Stubbe, Representative Stubbe. He held up two pictures. And he said, what is the difference between the two pictures? One was Jan 6th, they were storming the Capitol, and the other was more recently, and they were storming the Commerce Department. What was the difference? And you know what Merrick Garland's response was? Oh, I don't know. He said, well, you have to know, because you're prosecuting one group and not the other. The same thing with the spring, summer of 2020. No one there got prosecuted. But the Jan 6, they behave as if they'll, oh my God, heaven fell down. They're making these people out to be the meanest and the worst people in the world, when in my opinion, some may not agree with me, it was a stupid college boy prank. You can even say a stupid college boy white prank, if you want to go that far. But to say white supremacy, to say it was worse than 9/11, that is a slap in the face of the victims of 9/11. And I'm sure they're saying as much, but the media won't report on it. Now, had someone from the right said that, oh, they would be up in all their faces. What do you think how he said that? Do you think that was fair? But they can make the comparison, but we can't.
Yeah, it's becoming clear that they want to keep January 6th in the news for as long as possible, because they do not want to talk about what Joe Biden and his administration is doing. If they had anything good to talk about, they'd be talking about that. Instead, they're still focused on January 6th. If you're looking for better sleep, focus, and energy, check out Healthy Cell, the leading innovator of nutritional supplements for cell health. Absorb a healthier lifestyle with Healthy Cell's pill-free vitamins. It's made with a maximum absorption technology. Healthy Cell vitamins feed our bodies at the cellular level. Even if your vitamins aren't hard to swallow, it's time to upgrade to Healthy Cell's pill-free supplements. Head on over to healthycell.com. Save yourself 20% off your first order with the code OUTLOUD. Rob and I highly recommend Healthy Cell. You're tuned in to After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Or as always, you could download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We'll be back with more After Dark with Rob and Andrew.
Is a record player the best way to listen to music? Of course not. So why are you still taking vitamins that haven't been upgraded since the 1930s? Even if your vitamins aren't hard to swallow, it's time to upgrade to Healthy Cell's pill-free, patent-pending microgel supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. They taste great, convenient on the go, and they're more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Let's get real, let's get loud. On America Out Loud Talk Radio, this is McCullough Report. Are you tired of your tired vitamins? Consider Healthy Cell. These are pill-free vitamins that are in convenient gel packs. I like the Focus and Recall supplement. I use this a lot. You know, your brain uses a lot of energy, and it depends on a variety of micronutrients and vitamins. Boost your short-term focus and long-term brain power with Healthy Cell's Focus and Recall vitamins. So go to healthycell.com, use the code OUTLOUD, all capital letters, OUTLOUD, for a 20% off your first order of any Healthy Cell product. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
It was a vision that gave birth to a unique multimedia platform that would combine classic talk radio, great writers, and memorable podcasts and videos. AmericaOutloud.com is a conservative leader in a field that is predominantly run by far-left progressive globalists. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
And we're back with After Dark, Rob and Andrew. We're glad you could join us. And as Andrew was saying when we were going to break, Healthy Cell, you got to try it. I've been using it almost now, I think, Andrew, for, seems like 6 months. And man, I love it. I mean, it's a liquid gel. You don't have to worry about hard pills, swallowing it with water. I eat my breakfast or my lunch. I open up the little, it comes in a little pack. Open it up, slurp it down, and man, I'm ready to go. And the taste is not bad. Comes in peach and grape. Folks, you don't want to miss this. So if you go to healthycell.com and use promo code OUTLOUD, you get a percentage off. What is it, Andrew? Is it 20%?
That's 20% off your first order.
20% off your first order. So hey, take advantage of it while you can. That's healthycell.com. Now, back to our hot topics. I want to start off with, open up with Meghan McCain, the late Senator John McCain's daughter. Now, she's been in the news lately because she's a, you know, one of those hard hit Republicans. And she was also a commentator on The View. She was the only conservative on the show. And they would go backwards and forwards sometimes, fighting and having hissy fits and whatnot. Now, I never cared for Meghan McCain, especially after her father died. I thought she was really nasty toward President Trump. Now, you can say, well, look at some of the things he said about her dad. Look, politics is a contact sport. And you got to be able to take one on the chin, on the nose, and in the eye. But her behavior, and what she's writing in her book, if she's looking for sympathy, I'm sorry, baby girl, you're not going to get it from me. Because you had to have known what you were getting yourself into. And I think she did know, Andrew. And I think she was going to use that. She was just biding her time so that she could use it to springboard into another career, into this big hot-tot commentator, conservative commentator. Now, she's made a lot of accusations. One of them being that she and Joy Behar, made her cry. Now, if Joy Behar made me cry, I got thin skin. Because that's one broad who is completely off the chain. And I think she's kind of nutty anyway. But apparently, Meghan said that she was saying when she was on maternity leave, she came back. She's like, oh, don't you guys miss me? And Joy said, no, I didn't miss you. And she goes, oh, no, yes, you do. Oh, no, I didn't. So when they cut to commercial break, apparently, Meghan started heaving and hoeing and crying hysterically, went to her office and threw up. Now, Andrew, talk about a drama queen. I mean, you can't get any more drama than that. What the heck did she say that's going to make you throw up? And if she did do it, do you think I'm going to give her the satisfaction of knowing about it? And then she goes, Meghan says that she doesn't understand why the Trump children, Ivanka, or Jared attended her dad's funeral. Well, it's called respect. They're trying to show respect. And if you don't get that, you don't get anything. I mean, would you have preferred them to come out and say, oh, he was a knucklehead? He's one of the persons who wanted to stop Martin Luther King's holiday in Arizona. He had affairs with his wife, or on his wife. Is that what you wanted? Now, had he said that, she would have, like, threw another hissy fit. But out of respect, they came to the man's funeral. I would think she would have said, I appreciate that. because it was pretty tough and a really, you know, tough go for a moment there between their dad and my dad. But we children, we were able to put that aside. But no, Megan gets up and gives a partial eulogy, and she attacks people. Why did you do this? And my dad wasn't for this, and my dad wasn't for that. Give me a break. Your dad wasn't a saint, okay? And I don't get it. I don't like it when people die and they try to make them saints. I guess we think that's the proper thing to do. And then after they've been buried for, let's say about 3 weeks, we go after them, which is what happened with John McCain. But of course, now the liberals love John McCain because they felt that he stood up to Trump and he put the thumbs down on the Obamacare. Well, no, John McCain was a loser. He ran for president twice and didn't make it. It's his fault. It wasn't his time. He ran against Barack Obama. He didn't make it. He ran against President Trump. He didn't make it. He's a sore loser.
Got that right.
I mean, but my whole thing is that if you are a hell on wheels when you're living, don't try to make me out to be some Pollyanna when I die. Tell the truth. Call me out and say I was a hell on wheels. I lived a rough and tough life. That's given to me, that's given me respect, the respect that I'm due, as opposed to trying to clean me up. But I guess that's what Megan wanted. And then she wanted to go on and say that, hey, you know, she's this new Republican and Republicans need to stand up and they need, I'm like, baby girl, please be quiet. I'm serious. I mean, I wouldn't have even written the book.
Yeah, I'd put a sellout rhino like Megan McCain a couple notches below someone like Megan Kelly even. I can't believe Hannity and all these other right-wing outlets are having her on to spew her nonsense. No one should feel sorry for her. She was still cashing the million-dollar checks from NBC. She tried to make a career out of her dad passing away and used it every chance she got to bash President Trump and his family. And she is still doing it. She's a disgrace, and I have no sympathy for how she was treated by leftists. She tried to appease them, and now they are throwing it back in her face. I am done with her. No thanks, honey. You can stay put because we don't want you on this conservative side of the aisle.
Right. I mean, what does she expect? It's like when you go and lie down with dogs, you're going to get fleas. Did she actually think she was going to go on the show and they were going to lift her up? I mean, a couple of times she even had her dad on the show. I mean, she had a few choice words for Whoopi Goldberg, saying Whoopi was nasty and she did this. And when her dad died, I remember her saying that she and Joy Behar and I think Sonny Hostein, they all got drunk together. And she was laughing about it, saying, oh, yeah, we got drunk and da-da-da-da. I mean, it's like, it's no big deal. I'm like, when she said it, I thought, are you serious? You actually want to come on and talk about this? Yeah, we got drunk together and you guys stood by my side. Oh, I love you. And now you're throwing them under the bus. Not that I care, because I think the show is nothing but one big fluff cat fight. You got Sonny Hostin, who at one point, Andrew, she was a prosecutor, a federal prosecutor. And I admired her for her analysis of the law. But the moment she got on The View, she went loco psycho.
Yeah, she sounds like a very dumb person on that show.
Andrew, you are so right. For a woman who went to Notre Dame to have a law degree, was a federal prosecutor, she sounds like a bimbo. And then she tried to go up against Condi Rice when Condi Rice was talking about CRT. And then you had a lot of people trying to defend her, as I said. I'm like, honey, sister girl, no, know your role. Get back in your place because you can't touch Condi Rice. Like, step back. So, Megan McCain, you get what you deserve. I don't feel sorry for you. And as you said, the only thing she's doing is trying to make money. She wants attention to make money. Now, her husband, Ben Domenech, he's a bit boring, you know, in his delivery, but he has a grasp on the things that are taking place. Now, you mentioned someone else, Andrew, that I want to comment on, Megyn Kelly. She's another one. She likes to straddle the fence. Now, she's out now saying a lot of things that Republicans like. They're like, oh, yeah, she's doing it. But don't forget, she's still a snake, just like Bill Maher. Bill Maher is also a snake in the grass. And if you put him in your shirt, he will bite. I wish I had the poem about the snake. Bill Maher will bite. He has found an opening that he's trying to capitalize on so that he can get conservatives to watch him just like they're watching the Greg Gutfeld show. But don't doubt that Bill Meyer, whatever he called himself, is a snake. He's only attacking the woke left because he sees that they're losing, but more so to generate more publicity, more of an audience for him. Because right now, everyone is trying to gun after, or they're gunning after Greg Gutfeld because of the success with his show. I mean, his show is really good. People are tired of these comedians trying to be woke and be politicians and tell us how we should live our lives. You know, Andrew, it's amazing how entertainers try to tell us how to live our lives. Alyssa Milano tried to tell us what we should do. Now, there's another one out there, Rosie McGowan. Do not think that she's for conservatives because she isn't. Okay, she has her role. I know that she's on Tucker Carlson and she's saying how she went after, what's the big guy's name? The producer, how she went after him, Harvey Weinstein. And she's gone after a lot of others. Do not think that by her doing that she has a ticket to the conservative party, because she doesn't. Don't be deceived. These people do not like conservative values. They have a common issue that they can agree with, and I'm okay with that. But right, don't go thinking we can roll them up and we're going to let them be the face of the party, because they cannot be. And I think conservatives mess up when we do that, when these people come out and they talk the talk and we're thinking, oh, they're on our side. No, they're not. I remember Kanye West when he was going to see President Trump, and I'm like, wow, this is impressive. But then I cautioned people. I said, wait a minute. Simply because he's saying these things does not mean he's completely on our side, because he isn't.
Absolutely right. And the people that deserve the credit are people that have been putting their neck on the line supporting President Trump since day one. People like Kid Rock, people like Scott Baio, people like Charlie Daniels, Travis Tritt, Kevin Sorbo, so many others who have been supporting President Trump since day one, risking their careers, risking everything, because they are following through with what they believe in and putting that out there. Those are the kind of people that I have respect for. People like Meghan McCain, Megyn Kelly, and all these other people just cashing in on million-dollar checks. And then when things don't go well for them, they try coming crawling back. I have no respect for that.
No respect whatsoever, because you have to put it into perspective as to what these people are doing and understand that they still hold on to their beliefs, their belief system. And to think otherwise, you are being deceived. So we have to call it the way it is, because many of them could care less about conservative values or what we're doing. And you will see that if Trump decides to run for office again. I mean, they will come out viciously attacking him. And then you'll say, wait a minute, I thought they were on our side. I thought that they believed what we were saying. I thought, right, that's it. You thought. But it has nothing to do with it. I mean, even with some of these basketball players that are coming out, speaking out against the vaccine and saying they don't want to take it, and they believe in liberty and people should have a right to decide. Don't get that confused with them supporting conservative values, because it has nothing to do with it. What they're looking at is liberty and our freedom that is being taken away. Not looking at all of our values or our platform, because they couldn't care less about it. Now, some of them might eventually wake up. I mean, I think that they should look at our platform and say, wait, this is a platform that we believe in. This is something that I can identify with. But they won't. But I think conservatives have got to do a better job in pitching this. We have got to revamp. And we have got to, as Vanessa Simon said, repackage our message and put it out there. Because the message that we have here now, I mean, it's an old, stodgy message. We have too many old men that are running things and that are out front. Not that there's anything wrong with them, but we have to be honest. It is the youth that will take the party to the next level. It is the youth that will go forward, because eventually the ones that are there now will die. And we need young blood. We need new blood. So when you see these basketball players or these athletes that are there saying, you know, wait a minute, I believe that we should decide on taking this vaccine, and I don't think that we should be forced to take it. Then you had another basketball player who was coming out against China, Cantor, and calling China out. And what did China do? Like clockwork, shut them down. And what did the Americans do? Look the other way.
Yeah.
Don't want to say anything about it.
Yeah. And Enes Kanter, center for the Boston Celtics, is Turkish. And he actually criticized China and their treatment of the Uyghurs, as we've talked about on this show. When last time we had Michael Johns on, he gave an in-depth analysis of exactly what China is doing to the Uyghurs. And as Rob said, as soon as Enes Kanter brought this up, China canceled the Boston Celtics on their network. They will no longer be showing Boston Celtics games. And the NBA just sat down and folded, did not speak back to China whatsoever, say, hey, this is not China, this is America. Our players should be able to say whatever they want without you holding us hostage. But that is not the case. We saw the NBA fold to communist China once again, and it seems like this is the case with all of entertainment.
Like you said, Andrew, they folded. And the China makes up 10% of the revenue for the NBA, 10%. Now, that's not a lot, but it's a lot. But they folded. And you look at the entertainment industry, I heard that Amazon and Facebook both changed applications to cater to the government of China. Now think back on this. When Trump was in office and they had these same big tech companies saying that they didn't want to work with this administration. You even had the Department of Defense, some of the, I can't remember the name of the group, saying that they didn't want to work with this administration. But when it came to China, oh yeah, let's do it, let's do it. Americans, what is China going to do for you besides censor you and give you TikTok? I don't even have TikTok. I wouldn't dare use TikTok. It's another Chinese virus as far as I'm concerned. But you have Americans running to it, laughing at it, giving all their information to the Chinese. And the Chinese Communist Party has already said that they want to take over the world. But we don't seem to understand it. And I guess we don't understand it, Andrew, because the media isn't reporting on it the way they should. So we're completely oblivious to the dangers of TikTok.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And then we have a president who many of us believe, myself included, who has an incentive to keep quiet against China. They've paid his son millions and millions of dollars. And I believe Joe Biden is the big guy. I believe he's been paid off as well by communist China. And they probably have blackmail on the Bidens. And that's a real security concern for the United States of America that President Trump tried to bring up time and time again. And they even impeached him for it, for bringing it up.
Absolutely. Former Secretary of Defense Bill Gates even said that that's one thing that Trump got right, was to call out China, because no other president was doing it. Now, of course, again, the media didn't want to talk about that. They didn't want to talk about him saying, oh, he got that right. They wanted to talk about him saying, oh, well, I don't know about Trump. But Trump got it right. He understood. He understands what's at stake.
We all remember President Trump had just came to an agreement with China for a new trade deal. And then all of a sudden, COVID-19 was unleashed on the world.
Look, Andrew, I don't care what anyone says. China is responsible for this. This is a biological warfare. Of course, Dr. Fauci funded it because he's so stupid and too dumb to realize that China was manipulating him. And then some of these individuals have the audacity to say that, oh, Trump was being manipulated by President Xi, and he was being manipulated by Putin. Oh, not please. That is the very last thing. And they know it. Biden has made millions from China, going directly to Joe Biden's account, a joint account. Why hasn't anyone said anything about it? Well, they have said something about it, Andrew. But again, stolen elections, and elections have consequences. And when your party isn't in control, you can do whatever you want to do, and you can shut down other voices. And I don't think people understand that if your party does not control the House or the Senate, I don't care what accusations you bring up. I don't care how loud you yell. It will go on deaf ears because they can shut you down. They will not move. They will not act, especially if the Department of Justice and the FBI is corrupt right along with them, as well as the media. This is the perfect situation for Joe Biden. He is demented. He knows nothing. The man is senile. He's challenged. And then you have the media that's supporting this, that will not call it out. And then you have big tech that will censor any information that calls it out. And then he has weaponized the Department of Justice. And because Merrick Garland is so mad that he didn't get his seat on the Supreme Court, this is his opportunity to get revenge. So the Republicans can't do anything but continue to raise the issue, and rightfully so. And that is what we're doing. We will continue to talk about this and raise the issues. But in addition to raising the issues and talking about it, you have to keep it out front, because if you don't, people will forget. And it gives the media the opportunity to manipulate the information and to change it up. The whole thing with defunding the police, they now want to blame it on Republicans. Oh, no, you're the ones, because you won't vote for the infrastructure bill. An infrastructure bill that will raise taxes up to wazoo. An infrastructure bill that will buy into this whole crazy notion of AOC about a Green New Deal. Now, people laughed about it when she first brought it up, but how convenient it has made its way into this new infrastructure bill. And by the way, the infrastructure bill has nothing to do with our roads and bridges. Very little has to do with that. A majority of it has to do with segregation and creating a new class of people. And I spoke about this on a couple of shows ago. Go back to America Out Loud and look at those shows. I would encourage you to look at all of our shows, because we're breaking down everything, anything that has happened within the past 8 months that you question. And you're wondering, has anyone talked about it? Go to America Out Loud, After Dark with Robin Andrew. You can find it on Spotify, as Andrew always says, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts. And you will see that we have been talking about these issues day, night in and night out consistently, because we know what's at stake. We see what's happening before our very eyes. They're trying to take over and to destroy this country with all this make-believe stuff of 12 different genders and all the sexes. And, you know, you can't say this, you can't say that. And this is harmful, that's harmful. These people have been demonizing those people. We talk about it all the time. Yes, we give you the real news. We tell you what it is. And then we give you our opinions, fair and balanced. We help you to see it through a different lens, a lens that's not attacking the people that are putting it out there, but more so dissecting it and saying, this is what you need to look at. And then we encourage you to go and do your own research and then present it to us. It's the only way we can get our news out there, because these other companies, they're not going to do it. They're not going to have the guests that we have on our show, on their show. They won't do it, because they want to pretend as if though they don't exist. But Andrew, they do exist.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And we've got a few minutes left, and I'd like to take an opportunity for us to briefly discuss these elections, which are coming up in about a week away from now. We've got the Virginia governational race. We've got Republican candidate Glenn Youngkin, who's running against former Governor Terry McAuliffe. And this seems like a big test for Republicans. The elephant in the room is that Republicans have not won a big election since November of 2020, when President Trump unfortunately lost in the presidential election. Obviously, we are convinced a lot of voter fraud is involved in these elections. And Virginia is a big state. I'm looking at it because New York race is also that night. I don't have much faith that New York City is going to elect a Republican mayor, unfortunately. But Virginia is one of these states that can kind of be a toss-up state. We've seen what happened with the lockdowns in 2020. We've seen how frustrated people are with these mandates. In Virginia, you had Governor Baby Killer in charge, Northam, last time. You'd think that they would be hungry for change. This Glenn Youngkin, from what I've seen, he looks like a pretty good candidate. And this Governor Terry McAuliffe is an absolute disaster. Rob, what are your thoughts on what we're seeing in Virginia in the upcoming race coming up next week?
No, that's a fair analysis, what you said. In New York City, I would like to think that we would prevail. New York City, as we were told by one of our guests that came on our show, that New York is like 8-2 Democrat to Republican. That was by Fernando Mateo, who had run against Curtis Sliwa, who's the running, Curtis Sliwa is now running against Eric Adams. Eric Adams, the pretty much anointed mayor for the fact that he's Black, and they feel that it's time for a Black man to do it. We've heard one Black mayor, David Dinkins, who was horrible. So now again, we're going to get another one who will probably be just as horrible. But this is what New Yorkers want. When all around them, they see crime, homelessness. But yet and still, they will go in, like I said, and pull that lever down for a Democrat. And we don't even know if Eric Adams lives in the city or not. But they're just going to give it to him because he's Black. And, you know, it's like, well, maybe it's his turn and maybe he's articulate. But what will he do for the city? Now, I've got to admit, the other Republicans that were running, they were just as radical. They just wanted it for name, for show, for identity. As far as actually working for the city, it was not going to happen. Now, Curtis Sliwa, you know, we have our doubts about him, Andrew. I am not going to vote for Eric Adams, so I guess I will vote for Curtis Sliwa since our guy, Fernando Mateo, didn't get it. But Curtis Sliwa, he's got to step up. If you're creating situations, you got to stop it. Like I said, you need to come correct. We don't need any drama because they will definitely be looking after you. I would say to my fellow New Yorkers that are listening to this broadcast, wake up. Do the right thing for the country. Terry McAuliffe and Youngkin. Without a doubt, Youngkin should win this race. Terry has had his chance. He was a failure at it. Why would you put him back in? He is going to wreak havoc on your state. Don't be fooled again. And I would say all these races that are taking place on November 2nd, don't be fooled. Don't keep doing the same thing over and over again, thinking things will change because it will not. You want something different. We don't want the country to be destroyed. Stop believing their crazy rhetoric. Let's get it right.
Yeah, and during this COVID, we've seen just what kind of effect a bad governor can have on your life. Rob's been living with Cuomo. I've been living with Governor Pritzker. I mean, these guys need replaced, and Virginia has a golden opportunity next week to get the job done. I'll be rooting for them. Thank you all for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out on all the other shows over at AmericaOutloud.com, who just celebrated its 5th anniversary this year. You can go to AmericaOutloud.com. And check out the new look website. It looks great. We will see you guys next time. Remember, stand for something or fall for nothing.